You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This is episode 287 of the Columbia Calling podcast. My name is Richard McCall. I'm here in Bogota, and yes, it's raining again. The season is upon us here in Bogota. The city is shrouded in a gray mist almost permanently, well, in particular the last few days. And those of us who live up closer to the mountains feel that we are living in a cloud. Yes, it's somewhat depressing, but it reminds me very much of my home in London. So anyway, this is episode 287, as I said, and I hope you've enjoyed the last episodes over the last few weeks. But this week, we'll be talking to Sam Castañeda-Holdren, who's originally from California, a little bit of Arizona, a little bit of Boston, but now he resides in Medellin. And yes, he moved there in like 2015, after checking it out in 2013. And he is the director, owner, and creator of Out in Columbia. It's a socially responsible LGBT travel and tourism agency. They specialize in tourism experiences for gay travelers. So pretty much one of the first of their kind here in Colombia, if not the first. And we're going to be talking to Sam about, you know, how it was setting up this business, how he's found it, how people have reacted to it, and a little bit more about his life here in Colombia. So always fascinating to hear from people. You're pushing the envelope a little bit here in Colombia to open up the economy to new sectors, which of course need to be, it's a cultural experience coming to Colombia, and it's about understanding how best we can include and create a more open society. But enough from me. I'll be leaving you in the capable hands of Adrian Alsema for the second segment of this show, and he'll be giving you the news update from Colombia this week. And then in the third segment, we'll be on the line to Medellin with Sam Castañeda. So don't go away, and do check out the website. That's outincolombia.com. Of course, you can be in touch with us at columbiacalling@gmail.com and Facebook and Twitter and so on. So I look forward to hearing from you all. And thank you for the emails this week. There have been a few more in the mailbox. I do try and respond to them all, and I do try and meet up with those of you who invite me for a coffee. But sometimes in this weather, you just don't want to go outside. Anyway, I'm going to leave you in the hands of Adrian Alsema with the news segment, and I'll be back in segment three. Thank you for listening. This is Columbia Calling.
My name is Adrian Alsema, and this is the news for Columbia Calling for August 20, 2019. The Supreme Court summoned former President Alvaro Uribe to stand trial on October 8 on witness tampering charges. The court is investigating Uribe for allegedly intimidating witnesses who have testified that the former president founded a death squad in the 1990s. Since the beginning of the investigation, one witness has been assassinated and two survived assassination attempts. No president in the history of Colombia has ever been called to appear before the Supreme Court on criminal charges. Uribe has more than 24 criminal cases pending in the court. These cases include the alleged involvement in 2 massacres and the murder of 3 human rights defenders. The Uribe case is a devastating blow for President Ivan Duque, whose government and coalition have become increasingly isolated. Uribe is Duque's political patron and widely considered the power behind the throne of the unpopular president. The trial has thrown Uribe's far-right Democratic Center Party into disarray 2 months before local and regional elections are held. Former President Andres Pastrana has admitted he flew on the so-called Lolita jet of sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, who committed suicide last week. Pastrana used a private jet in 2003 to fly from Venezuela to the Bahamas, where Epstein owned a private island where he allegedly held sex parties involving minors. The former president said he met Epstein in Dublin at a party of U2 singer Bono in June 2002, when his country was enduring the most violent episode of the armed conflict. Former paramilitary chief Eliguano said at a peace forum that he incinerated the bodies of 560 murder victims, so after the prosecution warned him that attempts to find the homicide victims would cause a scandal. According to the former AUC commander, authorities promoted forced disappearance to deflate homicide statistics and keep police and military commanders out of trouble. 82,000 people disappeared during the armed conflict. Congress summoned the government to explain what concrete actions have been taken against escalating violence against native Colombians. The leftist opposition and the center-right voting bloc also want the Duque administration to respond to alleged failures that have put rural communities in danger. According to National Indigenous Organization ONIC, they have registered almost 38,000 acts of aggression against native Colombians since the 2016 peace deal. More than half of these incidents took place after Duque took office a year ago. The National Electoral Council called former President Juan Manuel Santos to testify about his alleged knowledge about illegal campaign contributions by corrupt Brazilian engineering firm Odebrecht in 2014. Santos' former campaign manager is already serving a 5-year prison sentence for receiving illegal contributions from the Brazilians in 2010. But questions remain about allegedly illegal contributions to the campaigns of Santos and his former rival Oscar Ivan Zuluaga in 2014. That's the end of this week's news bulletin. Now back to Colombia Calling with Richard McCall.
And we're back. It's that time of the week again, folks. This is segment 3 of episode 287 of the Colombia Calling podcast. I'm here in Bogota. It's finally stopped raining. There's a little, well, a chink of sunlight coming through the high altitude clouds here. And I'm on the line to see a very special guest this week. It's Sam Castañeda Holdren. I'm sure he's enjoying the warmer weather in Medellin. And but we're going to talk about Sam and his business and how this guy originally from California ended up in Medellin. So welcome on the Colombia Calling podcast, Sam.
Hey, thanks, Richard. It's really good to be here. And yes, the weather here in Medellin is perfect. I mean, it's springtime every day of the year, and I have no complaints.
Yeah, jealous. I'm always jealous, but I do seem to like the capital for all of it. Well, it's a bit like London, isn't it? It's always gray and rainy, so sure. It reminds me of home. Now, Sam, you originally came down to Medellin in 2013 to learn Spanish. And then in 2015, you decided to set up your business out in Colombia, which is a socially responsible LGBT travel and tourism agency. I mean, I guess, where should we start with this? You saw an opening in the market for a travel agency of this type.
Yeah, I mean, and that's actually the common story of people here, all the expats and locals actually here in Medellin and in Colombia, right? There's so much opportunity in Colombia to innovate and do something different and unique that doesn't yet exist. And I had come down to Colombia initially, really, to, like you said, to study Spanish. But then when I fell in love with it, I returned back to Colombia. I knew I wanted to do something that was going to be positive for the community, mm-hmm. something that was going to create some real authentic connections with others and be able to share sort of the beauty that I found in this country with other people in the world, and particularly people from the United States, which is where I'm from, right? Yeah. And part of that whole drive for me is related to my values of, like, you know, creating social justice and equality and breaking down barriers, because, you know, we see in the United States in particular, especially right now, a really unpleasant tone and public policy towards Latin America in general. And so one of the things that I know that we can do from my experience working in LGBT advocacy in Arizona, which is one of the most conservative states in the United States, was that, you know, in order to change hearts and minds and to get people to really change their approach to something, was just to be out and about and be open with who you are. And so I'm like, you know, when people know somebody who's different than them, all these negative stereotypes that they've heard about in the media, that they've heard from politicians, that they've seen in movies, just go away. Because now you have a friend, now you have a family member who is this person who's not the stereotype that you're getting. And so, you know, that was sort of my goal. That was my mission. Like, okay, I want to do something that's going to break down the stereotypes that people have of Latin America. You know, we hear it all the time, but it's dangerous. I still hear it today from clients. They're a little worried about that. It's dangerous. It's drug infested. There's a lot of corruption. And sure, there's certainly a level of that, but there's also another side of the coin, right? Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's organized. There's a great positive culture of people who are friendly. And so this is the stuff that I really wanted to show. And that's what got me going, right? So I said, tourism. Maybe tourism will be what I want to dive into, in order to really change those minds and open those hearts.
It sounds like me, you know, you've taken tourism as a mantle, but there's a certain degree of activism in there too. You haven't been able to completely shrug off your past in Arizona, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, like, I've been an activist. It's been in my blood since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Writing letters to the editor. At the age of 10, trying to defending marginalized communities in my small town in California and things like that. So it's just in my blood. And I'm also a social worker. And as a social worker, I'm always looking for ways to improve things, improve systems, and ultimately improve quality of life for the community around me.
Mm. Interesting. And so in Medellin and thereabouts, are you involved in socially responsible projects or activism of any type?
Well, I'm so busy with this business, and so that's why I decided to focus and make social responsibility and sustainability sort of the key pillars of Out in Columbia Travel. So everything we do is about investing in local economy. It's about uplifting local communities and improving quality of life for people here in Columbia. And it's about, as best as we can, we have some work to do in this area, you know, protecting the awesome biodiversity that we have right here in Colombia. I mean, you know, Colombia is one of the most biodiverse countries on the planet. Mm. It's beautiful here in Colombia, in Medellin. When I first got here, I'm like in the middle of a city on the mountains. It feels like I'm in the jungle. Of course, living here now, I know I'm not in the jungle because I've actually been in the jungle. I've been in the Amazons. But there's so much diversity here. You know, you're an hour away or 30 minutes away by flight to so many different geographies, where you're going to, and so many different cultures, really, and so many different people and ethnic backgrounds. There's so much diversity in this country. It's so amazing.
It is amazing. And you know what? It's captivated all of us. And that thing you say about 30 minutes in a flight is, 30, 45 minutes in a flight from either one of the Medellin, Bogota. You're just such a, as you say, a diversity of options. We're just spoiled for choice if you want to travel in Colombia. And of course, I always say that I think that's the greatest hindrance to Colombia is there's too much. The tourism board, and let's not speak ill of them, but the Pro Colombia and all these people, they are desperately always looking to expand the brand and cement what it's supposed to be. But I never feel that it's something that truly encompasses Colombia as a whole. It always takes one little bit of a region or so on, because it's so hard. It's so hard to get a proper marketing strategy for a country so exuberant, let's say, as Colombia. So, but let's move on to your travel agency then, Out in Colombia. I want to know, what were the reactions, because you've set up in Medellin, and I think that Medellin's a pretty tolerant city with regards to this, and Bogota has its tolerance in certain areas as well. But how has the reaction been to, an LGBT travel agency in Colombia? What were the reactions, let's say, to you setting up an LGBT travel agency here in Colombia? How did people respond?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because I first, you know, I initially thought of tourism, and even though I'm an LGBT activist in my background, I really wasn't thinking about focusing on LGBT tourism initially. But the community was starting to have a conversation around it. How do we promote Colombia as a gay-friendly destination? Mm-hmm. What do we have to do internally to make that happen? And so it first caught my attention when the Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce in Bogota had a forum in 2016. Mm. And I flew out to Bogota and attended that forum, and it was specifically on this topic. And, you know, you had a room full of people working within the industry, hotel representatives, other travel agencies, you know, tour guides and tour operators in this room having a conversation. And you had representation from the U.S. Embassy, from the Colombian government, from the city of Bogota, you know, all these people. And actually there was a conversation about how, you know, tourism was becoming a strategy for Colombia's sort of economic growth on the government mm-hmm. level. Mm-hmm. And that they recognized that, you know, LGBT travel and travelers needed to be a key component of that. Mm-hmm. So you have this sort of like conversation and this momentum. But when I went to that forum, I recognized that, okay, there was a lot of conversation, but nothing was happening. And so that's where I saw that opportunity. But you had that initial support already. So I launched, you know, and I launched just with some experimentation, trying things out, creating some customized plans for people that were coming by. And honestly, the reaction has been overall really mm-hmm. positive. Mm-hmm. So far, like, I've gotten support from ProColombia, which is the tourism board, as you mentioned, from like the city government offices in places like Barranquilla, here in Medellin. We just did a partnership with the Greater Medellin Convention and Visitors Bureau, where for the first time ever, they gave us as an LGBT agency a space within this historic parade for the Flower Festival here mm-hmm. that they have every year. And so we had space, reserved space for really an LGBT audience and a mm-hmm. friendly audience. Of course, we don't discriminate either. Anybody is welcome as, you know, long as they're friendly to the community. And so we created that space. And it's really kind of a major first step for the city of Medellin, which, as you know, you mentioned, like Bogota is more metropolitan, it's more international, so it's a little bit more advanced than Medellin, but Medellin is still friendly, even though it's got a little bit of a conservative, reserved sort of like culture. Mm-hmm. People are very, very friendly, very polite, and very open to new ideas here.
That's cool. And so I met one of my listeners, got in touch, who's in a relationship with a Colombian guy. He's from Australia, and he said, so he went, you know, and his partner is from Medellin, and they went out in Medellin. This is a couple of years ago, and he said there were only a few openly, a few gay bars or gay discos open, and they kept seeing the same people in these different bars. It became sort of like family, but I'm sure that the community has expanded and the options are far more, far larger now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first came here, you know, there's just one bar and Parque Jettis, which is like the Zona Rosa, the main party zone, and a few like discotheques scattered around the city. But now they keep opening, actually. So in this area of El Poblado, which is where I'm located, which is so around this Zona Rosa, there's some really cool and new and creative spaces. Mm. When I first came here, everything was very typical. You listen to local typical music, maybe reggaeton, and maybe some electronic music. Mm. But that's diversifying. You know, you have places like Club Oracolo or Bar Chiquita, which are just really cool spaces that create a different vibe. You know, mm. and you're doing maybe electric pop. It is creating space for that subculture within the LGBT community mm. to come out and feel comfortable. So, you know, you don't just have to fit sort of like a certain like standard. No, you get to express yourself and be yourself.
That's
and not only that, you know, you've got different discos that have like popped up in different places that are often a lot of variety.
Yeah, it's so refreshing to hear, because we think about this and in conversations here and there and with friends in the community, and they sort of say, well, Colombia's probably the most gay friendly as a whole, the most gay friendly South American country. You've got pockets elsewhere, I guess, suppose Buenos Aires, Rio in Brazil, but on the whole, I mean, would you say that that's true?
I mean, I worked in gay rights,
yeah,
and I fought for equality. I fought to stop really laws that would take away our rights in Arizona and in the United States. And I come here to Colombia, and I find out that all those rights that I've been fighting for, or some of them that didn't even exist in the United States or parts of the United States, exist here. They're protected in the Constitution. They're backed up by rulings by the Supreme Court. I mean, you've got marriage equality. You've got the right to adopt. It's actually, I believe, a criminal offense to harass somebody for being gay or LGBT. And so there's some recourse. And you've seen actually that being tested. I remember a story of somebody in Barranquilla going to the mall, and they were in the bathroom, and the guards there harassed them because they knew they were gay, and they kicked them out of the mall. Well, that went all the way up to the Supreme Court here, or the Constitutional Court, rather, and the mall was forced to give a public apology and recognize that what they did was unlawful, actually. So you sort of see that actually being tested, and these laws that are designed to protect us, protecting us. And I'll give you another story.
Go on.
Just recently in June here in Medellin, you actually have, for the first time, a really visible support from the mayor's office here. They flew a flag, a rainbow flag, over this place called Pueblito Paisa on Nutibara Hill, which is right in the middle of the city. The city controls that space. They raised the rainbow flag in honor of Pride Month. Mm-hmm. Now, that got a reaction from somebody, a really like infamous, like really conservative right wing activist here, who actually went there and videotaped himself cutting the rope and tearing down the flag and destroying it, right?
Mm.
And that was right before the Gay Pride March. But you know what was beautiful was the immediate reaction from the community and community leaders. That actually was a rallying cry for members of the community to come out and show up at Pride the following weekend at the march. The mayor's office immediately ordered that the flag be re-raised, and so you're just seeing a whole lot more not just legal protection, but sort of like social awareness and public affirmations of support from the leaders in this country, and you're seeing a more visible presence of the community itself. And I don't know if that would have happened a few years ago, as the country was still technically, in a civil war, and safety was the number one priority. Now that that has passed, or that's in process, now people are actually able to be themselves and have different types of conversations beyond that.
I think that you've touched on something very interesting there. That, of course, I saw that the viral video of that guy cutting the flag, and I, even here in Bogota, I mean, the outrage was palpable through many sectors of society. Of course, you've got your, let's say, ultra conservatives let's not get into that. But how good that the community and I think a wider community can all pull together as one. I think not just, the LGBT community. I think it was a vast amount of people who all came together. So we've got to support this. But what you said just then about sort of, let's say, the process of ending a conflict. Since that, even since I would say the failed referendum in like 2016 and so on, I'm seeing more, same-sex couples walking hand in hand. I don't know if I've become more aware of it, but I would say, someone being from London and so therefore, reasonably aware of these things, that it has this process has engendered a greater sense of confidence and liberty in the community. I mean, that's my interpretation. I'm seeing younger couples hand in hand and not fearing the kickback. But I did know that, was it a few months ago in the Andino shopping center, there was a big outburst where a couple were hand in hand, and some guy, you know, saying, oh, in front of the children, all this stuff. But again, there was a huge, huge outcry against this. You know, there was just a couple walking around, you know, so why would, anyway, but this, I mean, when you organize, let's go to the tourism side of things. When you organize your trips and so on, I mean, do you have like a briefing letter to your clients to say, listen, you know, this is still South America. Still issues in the countryside. The main cities, you're going to be fine, but be careful. Do you have a list of warnings or be aware?
You know, actually, I don't think it's necessary. And here's mm-hmm. why. Like, I really create relationships, personal relationships with each of my clients. Mm-hmm. You know, we are creating personalized packages, really providing a direct, what I call concierge type service, where, mm-hmm. you know, they're informed from the beginning. I'm having conversations with them months in advance. So if those questions come up and those are real concerns, mm-hmm. then definitely, you know, I'll address them. But the truth is, what we do and what I've already done is, you know, we vet the people that we work with, our partners in the hotels, the tour guides, the transportation providers. You know, we put the full package together, but we vetted all these people through my own personal experience, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of identifying people who are gay friendly, like, yeah. you know, create a welcoming space. That they're also like subscribing to some of the pillars of sustainability mm-hmm. that we had addressed. And they're offering an overall quality service. So people know that when they contact me and I put a package together to them, they're going to get a great vacation package, but they're also going to be know that they're going to be able to be themselves, that they're not going to be bothered, that they're not going to be harassed. Mm-hmm. They're going to feel safe. Because I've done that work already. Now, yeah. I also want to emphasize that the tourism board, Pro Colombia, and others like the Gay Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. have also done a lot of work to get the message out
yeah.
that Colombia is gay friendly. It's a safe space, and so that's been helpful. So the people that are already coming to us with a bit of curiosity and interest. Sure, there's a little bit of hesitance for a variety of reasons because of the stereotypes I addressed mm-hmm. earlier, but that's the value add, right? You know, people come to me knowing, and they know that already, that they're going to get a great package with these in a gay-friendly sort of environment.
Yeah, it's basically proper, you know, client service, personalized quality. I mean, what you're looking at is a proper concierge service. And of course, with the element that you're saying there. So, I mean, since you started and opened up this business in 2015, I mean, how much would you say it's grown? Because Colombia is becoming a, you know, a very hot and fashionable place to visit. I mean, how has your market grown?
Well, and just to correct you, that it's actually 2016 when I launched the business. I arrived in 2015 to live here. Right. But, actually, no, there's been steady growth. I mean, when I mm-hmm. first started out, it was because I'd started a blog and somebody contacted me saying, hey, I can't find any gay tour guides. Do you know anybody? I'm like, let me put something together for you. and so that's how it started out. And at the same time, and that's when I decided to launch the business. Mm. At the same time, I started a master's program through Arizona State University, focusing on sustainability leadership, and nice. And that was a really like pragmatic master's degree that allowed me to apply all my lessons, which were about leadership, communications, sustainability, you know, issues, as well as strategy, and apply those into my business. So I used that to basically lay out the foundation of what this business is and our principles and what it looks like and what our strategy will be. But because of that, the reason why I'm sharing this story is because mm-hmm. Because I was so involved in the master's degree program and it was helping to shape this business. I think we could have realized even faster growth than what we're already realizing, except that I didn't have the time. Yeah. So we've actually seen a lot of growth. I actually, to be quite honest, have done very little in terms of marketing. And I have a backlog of people interested in coming here and getting proposals from me. So I've got some work to do to get our operations up and running even more efficiently. I'm in that process, bringing on more team members. I've got two positions open right now, which is something that I'm also really excited about because that's also a passion of mine. This is how we can sort of help uplift the local community, is provide job opportunities and mm-hmm. good paying job opportunities. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the point of sustainability, is like, you know, you get some people. Very rarely you get some clients who are like, well, you know, I'm looking for, you know, an inexpensive experience. And we provide a reasonably priced experience, but we also you know, pay people quality, you know, livable wages, right? We pay people, we pay our tour guides, our independent, you know, decent sort of rates, as opposed to sort of, you know, these lower rates, so that they can actually live, right? And so that's what people are paying for. They're paying for, you know, a great experience, and they know that they're actually doing something that's going to help the local economy and local community.
Fantastic. So what are the jobs that you've got open, in case I've got any listeners out there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, so I have a position that's called an experience manager. And that person really is ultimately responsible for helping to manage the experience of our clients. So from the, you know, the time we, you know, we secure them, you know, making sure that everything is lined up for their trip, communicating with all of our suppliers. We've got a huge supplier network, and making sure that all the reservations are made, communicating with the client, and throughout their experience, and even after, maintaining communication with them to make sure everything is running smoothly, mm-hmm. being very proactive, right? Yeah. Very hands-on role. The other role is what I call a team catalyst, because, you know, they basically have the responsibilities of sort of an administrative assistant, but because, you know, we're a small business starting up, still, right, you know, mm-hmm. and growing at a rapid pace, in order to achieve that growth, we need a catalyst. We need somebody who's helping us, who's responsible for helping us sort of being able to achieve that, who's alleviating things off of my plate so that I can focus on interacting with more people out in the world to let them know that Colombia is a great destination, you know, and not have to worry about calling the bank or dealing with like certain administrative tasks. But it's an important role, right? Yeah. Like having, and it really does, it serves as a catalyst for our growth. And so that's what I'm looking for.
Well, there you go. You can get in touch with Sam, of course, through the website that's out in Colombia.com. Very easy. Very easy. They're get in touch. But two jobs open, two, you know, well-paying jobs open in Medellin. So, you know. So talking about your clientele and so on, you know, what are the, I mean, obviously, there's more popular destinations, the ones that you're selling all the time. Which would those be?
To be honest, that's really interesting. And I think part of this is because people just don't know any of these other destinations. As you mentioned, there's so much diversity, and it's kind of hard to create a cohesive marketing plan. But for us, like the people that are most, the destinations that people are most interested in are Bogota, Medellin, and Cartagena, right? Yeah. And those are your typical big cities, right? And they're the most developed, and they're really the most established to take on international tourists. You know, you have quality hotels, you know, at an international standard. You've got tourism infrastructure in place, you know, with the guides that are actually certified and whatnot. And as Colombia is a developing country, these a lot of places outside of these areas are still developing their tourism infrastructure, you know, and figuring out how to develop. But we have sent people to Eje Cafetero, what I call coffee country, which is a beautiful, beautiful area. Salento is a great destination, especially for international travelers as well. Just very picturesque and some really cool nature. You got the Valle de Cocora that's out there, which has these wax palm tree forest in the middle of this mountain range, and it doesn't belong there, but it's there, and it's pretty fantastic. But there is interest, you know. Like I've created packages for the Amazons. It's a bit rugged, you know. It's like you have to really be willing to like get dirty and sweat and be able, and a lot of people, and people are right. Yeah. But it's a rugged experience, and so I haven't had any takers yet.
Well, it's all about it. I mean, once you have that first client and you can go through it and work it out and iron out all the problems, then, you know, then that person then talks to the next one.
Exactly.
The word of mouth is amazing. So what it seems to me, and what I liked, obviously, about all that you've said, you know, you're socially responsible, you're paying people the right prices, you're promoting the country in the right way, you are based in Medellin, so you are, and I, you know, I have to bring this up, you are the polar opposite of what this, you know, despicable guy who's kind of been chased out of Medellin, Austin Summers, was doing. You are the polar opposite, and so therefore we should promote you and not this awful guy.
Yes. Yeah, he is pretty awful. I mean, I, you know, I kind of disengaged from that conversation. I don't even know what's going on. But then all of a sudden, there's these news articles popping up about this guy that was teaching people, you know, to harass women and as this sort of like dating expert. Oh my gosh! And he's gone, right? He left the country. And that's good because we don't need that. You know, like Colombia has, you know, a certain segment of people who come here for sex tourism, for drugs. And that's because, you know, it's available, right? You know, prostitution isn't criminalized here. Neither are drugs, actually, except for maybe selling. And so, you know, of course, you're going to get an element of that. And people are attracted to that. But there's also a lot of people here that are attracted, and this is who we focus on, in culture and history and getting to know local people and actually making authentic connections, you know, eating the local food and understanding local gastronomy, the adventure aspects, you know, people that the nature, like, so there's so many other things for people to really be attracted to. And that's what we're focused on.
Yeah, definitely. And I was curious because, you know, we are my little place. We're affiliated with the Camara Comercio, the LGBT Camara Comercio. Yeah, good bunch of guys, really interesting. I've done the lectures and so on. They've, you know, done all of this advice and stuff. But I haven't, you know, followed up on too much of it. It was just, you know, it's about starting to, what would you say, train up my staff. It's a small town in the middle of nowhere. But actually with quite a large gay community. But it's, again, it's about breaking down some certain prejudices and preconceived notions. But I want to ask, does the Camara Comercio have some interesting projects in the pipeline? I mean, I haven't read the latest email or anything. So what would, I mean, is there anything coming up that's going to really open up, let's say, sort of gay enterprise or tourism or so on?
Well, I mean, tourism has been a big focus of the Camara Comercio or the Chamber of Commerce ever since 2016, I know. And so they're the ones who organized that forum. And since then, they've had other forums. I know that they just had a forum in Cartagena as part of the Cartagena Pride celebration this month. And also, they're really connected really closely to the IGLTA, the International Gay and Lesbian Travel Association. And it's actually through my affiliation with the Gay Chamber of Bogota that I got my affiliation with the IGLTA and was able to connect on an international level to the industry focusing on LGBT tourism, which has been a really great connection.
That's huge.
It's been awesome. But I know that locally the chamber, you know, has a few projects. I know one of them is a training program for businesses. It's called Friendly Biz. And so you can become a certified friendly business. You have to go through some training. They focus on your staff. I know that they're working with, I had a meeting with the folks at Estelar, which is a big local chain. And they're committed to training like all of their staff nationwide, which is a huge, huge deal. And really, you know, it's just cultural competency, right? And it's becoming aware, you know, so that when, you know, you have a same-sex couple show up to check in, you're not insisting that they take two beds, you know? And so, you know, things like that, you know, or you have a trans person who shows up and maybe their gender doesn't match on their ID, doesn't match how they look in front of you. And you're like, hey, what's going on here? You know, and sort of maybe, how do we deal with that with the airlines and the hotels and check-in and whatnot, right? And so the Camara Comercio has a really great great team of people that help walk businesses and their employees through those questions and many other questions that come up.
So it's so important. And it seems, you know, to me, it seems quite progressive for Colombia. I feel that this is quite progressive.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So as we wind down this, I mean, and I thank you for your time. And I know you're a busy guy. You've got a backlog of orders and emails to answer. What would you say are the greatest challenges facing your business in the next couple of years?
That's a really, really great question. I mean, I think, honestly, the biggest challenge, it's bilingual staff. I mean, it is a challenge because English hasn't been, in Medellin in particular, like, you know, it's hard to find bilingual people who aren't already working, you know, for a company that needs them, right? And so, you know, I actually have a vision of eventually starting a foundation. This is a side project. I've actually, like, started the process, but it's slow in the works, as I'm still dealing with this piece. But that would actually do some workforce development and identify LGBT members of the community, particularly and really marginalized areas. There's a communa here that that has a really amazing community center. It's an illegally built house, you know, up on the mountain. And a lot of the houses and buildings there are illegally built, so they're not very stable. But this community was targeted as officially as a military target during the war, and has just finally been recognized for that and are getting some assistance from the government. But how amazing it would be to partner with them and provide training to that community, which really is disconnected from the rest of Medellin, so that they can become guides and independent workers and work for various agencies. I mean, it's an exciting thing. But, you know, at the same time, it'd be benefiting the industry as a whole in my business, because we'd be getting, you know, trained, qualified people who are now bilingual and able to serve in the tourism industry and work for our businesses. So that's sort of a long-term project that I want to work on, because that is, I think, one area of weakness for me.
on the whole, it's the whole of the country regarding bilingualism. It's, you know, Colombia, for obvious reasons, is way behind on that. But you know, creeping forwards.
Yeah, but that's also one of the draws, right? Mm. You know, when I came here, you know, it wasn't to speak English. You know, I stayed in a place with other English speakers, but I didn't want to speak English. I wanted to interact with the local community. And that's what makes Colombia still such an amazing attraction, because it's still, even though it's growing in tourism, it's growing, it's still untouched or still authentic, right? It's still itself, its true self. It's a great place to come and practice your Spanish.
Yeah, I like that because you know, I get people coming to the small town in Montpoz and stuff, and then making, you know, writing a TripAdvisor review or something saying no one spoke English. I'm like, you had to have spoken some Spanish somewhere to have got here. You know, look at what you had to come through to get here. Of course, it's going to be more difficult and stuff. And that, as you say, that's a perfect example. It's an interaction with the local people and a real degree of authenticity. Yeah. So anyway, listen, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Thank you, Sam, for sharing with us some of these insights into, well, first, you know, gay tourism in Colombia, socially responsible LGBT travel and tourism agency. So check it out. It's outincolombia.com. I see from the website you're on all the various social media ills out there. You're on everything, so people can find you. Out in Colombia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I can't see anything else. Everything else.
That works.
We've been talking to Sam Castaneda-Holdren, who's originally from California, but has been sort of mobile through Arizona, Boston, and now is based in Medellin. Sam, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. We'll be back next week with episode 288, but this has been episode 287 of the Colombia Calling podcast. Fascinating stuff with Sam Castaneda. Check out the website outincolombia.com. And of course, you want to get in touch with me. That's colombiacalling@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, Colombia Calling, and on Twitter, Colombia Calling as well. Thank you again for listening, and bye-bye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.